Not everyone is comfortable talking to lots of people from a microphone. In fact, the very prospect of public speaking can scare the color right off the face of many people. And it would probably add a degree of fright to recite poetry in front of people, but reciting poetry out loud is the very function of the appropriately named Poetry Out Loud competition. It is for high school students across the country, and it is coming to a peak in the coming weeks. And Oregon has more high schools participating this year than ever before. Deb Vaughn is the education coordinator at the Oregon Arts Commission. She's the arts education coordinator, I should say, at the Oregon Arts Commission and our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Deb, welcome.
Good morning, Jeff.
So give us a little history, if you would, on Poetry Out Loud, how and where it started.
Poetry Out Loud is celebrating its 10th anniversary this year, and so it started in 2005. It's a partnership of the National Endowment for the Arts and the Poetry Foundation, and it's administered in all 50 states and the three territories by state arts agencies. It was envisioned as a classroom competition where students would spend several weeks in the classroom memorizing, analyzing, and presenting great works of poetry for each other, and then sort of advance through a pyramid structure of competition to the state level and then on to nationals. And over the years, it's evolved, and as classrooms have changed, there are as many different ways to participate as you can possibly imagine, so it's been a pleasure to watch the program transform to meet the needs of schools and students.
Is this 10th anniversary edition very different from the first one?
It is different in that the types and numbers of poems eligible for participation are much more robust. I think, certainly here in Oregon, a couple of things that have really changed. 6 years ago, Oregon was the first state to incorporate our state school for the deaf in Poetry Out Loud. So that's a new element. We've been working with them for about 6 years, and we are the national model for including students who are deaf and hard of hearing in this competition. And then this year, for the first time, Oregon and Pennsylvania are both working with online learning academies. So that's the first time that that's happened. So I think the program has transformed in that it's become more inclusive, more flexible, and hopefully more relevant.
And so how long since Oregon students joined it? Were they part of the first one 10 years ago?
We were. Oregon was one of the first. The first year was a sort of a pilot in just a handful of states, and then the rest of the nation came online the following year. But Oregon was part of that original pilot. So we've been here from the beginning, and we're pretty excited that we have one high school, Hood River Valley High School in Hood River, that has participated all 10 years. We have a lot of schools that kind of come and go as teachers' schedules allow, and there's a lot of schools that come back year after year, but we're really proud of Hood River's 10 consecutive years of participation.
Congratulations to them. That's great that they're in it every year. So there are some issues then with schools being able to participate every year.
It is. It's a free program, so it doesn't cost schools anything to participate, but it does require a little bit of organization and coordination on behalf of either a teacher or a parent volunteer. A lot of times librarians head up these programs, and, as I'm sure many of your listeners are aware, the school environment continues to change, and demands on educators' time and students' time are always in flux. And there is always a kind of a sales pitch that we have to do about why it's important to take time out of an established English curriculum to allow students this opportunity to focus on public presentation and poetry analysis. And I think the teachers who do participate and the students who participate see the value. And, if anybody comes to one of our regional or state competitions and watches these students do this amazing work, I think you can't help but be moved and recognize the impact. But it does take a little bit of convincing because, as you said in your introduction, public speaking can be very intimidating.
The regional competitions, are they open to the public? Can folks just kind of wander in and take a look at the Poetry Out Loud process going on?
Absolutely. So they're free and open to the public. No tickets are required. The only thing that we ask is that people don't wander in and out in the middle of a competition round. So people can certainly feel free to come and go, but we ask that you don't do that as a student is reciting, precisely because one of the areas that students are scored on is their accuracy. So there are pretty significant point deductions if a student misses a word or changes or transposes a word, and we don't want to do anything that might break the student's concentration as they're presenting.
So why don't we talk about exactly what happens here? Because it sounds like there are some fairly stringent guidelines, but I have no idea of categories and length of poem, any of that stuff.
So there are some requirements. So students select a poem from an anthology of over 600 different poems that have been pre-selected by the Poetry Foundation and the National Endowment for the Arts. Students prepare three poems for the regional and state-level competitions. Sometimes at the school and classroom levels, they prepare smaller numbers of poems, so it's less intimidating. But by the time they come to regionals, they have three poems ready to go. The requirements are that one of the poems must be written before the 20th century, and one of the poems must be fewer than 25 lines in length. One poem can meet both of those criteria, and other than that, students can select whatever poems they like from the anthology. And then, as they present them at the competition, they're scored in six different categories and also accuracy. So those categories are physical presence, voice and articulation, dramatic appropriateness, which is have they matched their tone to the poem appropriately, level of complexity of the poem itself, evidence of their understanding of the poem, and then overall performance, which is the more subjective category where judges really have the opportunity to reward a student that provides them with a really meaningful artistic experience. So, and then, as I said before, accuracy.
And so is the performance, is that particular category, that weighted just a little bit? Does the judge get a chance to influence, to override some of the other scores with that
one? It is a little bit. So all the scoring is cumulative throughout all three rounds, but that overall performance category is weighted a little more heavily. So instead of a scale of 1 to 6, it's a scale of 1 through 9. But a 9 is extremely rare. One would hope that the national champion would receive a 9 in the overall performance category, but judges are really advised to steer clear of 7s and 9s in that overall performance category and reserve those for a performance that's really outstanding.
We're talking to Deb Vaughn, who's the Arts Education Coordinator for the Oregon Arts Commission, about the Poetry Out Loud competition, which goes on in schools across the country, both Oregon and California. Oregon has a record number of schools participating this year. Join us on the exchange with questions or comments about the process, and maybe you've seen a Poetry Out Loud competition and can tell us a story about one. 800-838-3760 throughout the listening area. 800-838-3760. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. When you talk about preparing poems, then, we're talking about actually having to memorize them?
Absolutely. It's more than just memorization, because it really starts with poetry analysis. Because students are scored on their evidence of understanding of the poem, and because Poetry Out Loud is really about honoring the poet's voice as well as the student's voice, it really starts with students finding a poem that speaks to them on a personal level, and then really doing some in-depth analysis of what was the historical context in which the poem was written, what was the author trying to say, what is the imagery about in the poem, and then the student sort of taking that internally as they memorize it, and then the student sort of combining those two things, their own personal perspective and the poet's perspective, as they present it publicly.
Are there any steps taken, Deb, to make sure that a student from Hood River High School doesn't show up and a student from Sheldon has the exact same poem?
Absolutely not. We often see the same poems recited, but sometimes back to back at the competition. So that wouldn't affect the scoring, but it does make it interesting to compare and contrast between two students approaching the same poem, almost always in very dramatically different ways.
That would be really interesting and probably a little nerve-wracking, nerve-wracking for the student involved. Oh, my God, he's got the same poem.
I think when they show up and look at the program and realize that they've got somebody else doing their same poem, that it's intimidating. It was interesting last year, our state champion, when she went to nationals, her sort of outstanding, shining, winning poem was recited by 10 other students at the national competition. And so I believe they've pulled that poem from the anthology because it was so heavily used last year. But she was very dismayed when she got there and realized that, she wasn't necessarily going to get the chance to have a clean slate when she presented that poem.
Do you remember what the poem was?
It was called The Pomegranate and the Big Crowd by Alberto Rios. It's a wonderful poem, and it tells a really great story, and she did it quite well, but I saw probably 8 out of the 10 performances, and every single one of them had a very different approach to it.
That sounds fun. We were talking just a little bit ago about the record number of high schools participating in Poetry Out Loud this year. It's not a huge number, though, compared to the number of high schools that exist.
Yeah, it's not a huge number. As I said, sometimes it's a difficult sell because it does ask for teachers to add something onto their plates that maybe isn't already built into their curriculum. We have a lot of schools that participate as an after-school program, which makes it sometimes a little bit easier for them if they don't have space within the English classroom. But in the Southern Oregon, so we have three regions in the state. We divided it up. And in the Southern Oregon region, last year we had only five schools participating, and we just really thought that we could do better. And so thanks to an epic road trip by our Southern Oregon coordinator, Clancy Roan, who visited, I think, every high school between Brookings and probably Newport on the coast, and then all the way back down I-5. Just she did this amazing circuit. This year we have four brand new schools in the southern region who've never done Poetry Out Loud before, and we ended up with a total of 12 schools scheduled to participate in that region. So we're pretty excited that event that's taking place at the Medford Public Library on March 7th from 1 to 4 in the afternoon is going to be more than twice as big as it was last year. So there'll be some really great energy in that room.
So the southern region, and what are the other two regions?
We do a Mid-Valley and Central Oregon regional that takes place in Salem. And then we do a Portland metro area and Eastern Oregon competition that we're holding in Beaverton.
Wow. So that's a huge cat. So basically, you could have students from Ontario High School in the same flight with students from the Portland area.
Yes. Yeah, we do. Unfortunately, we don't reach quite that far east. I think our furthest east high school is Condon High School up the gorge. But and that Portland regional is pretty big. But we want to make sure that geographic barriers are not a problem for students and families. So we pay the cost of mileage for families traveling from far outside the region, and we provide overnight lodging for those that need it. And so we were really looking at the state geographically and trying to figure out the most efficient way that we could get students from far-reaching areas of the state to these competitions.
Deb Vaughn, our guest again on the Jefferson Exchange, Arts Education Coordinator at the Oregon Arts Commission. We're talking about the Poetry Out Loud competition. So again, the Southern Oregon Regional Contest, are they all the same day, March 7th?
They are. It's an epic day for us. So Salem, the Central Mid-Valley and Central Oregon Regional will be March 7th in the morning from 10 to 1 in Salem, and then Southern Oregon in Medford from 1 to 4, and then in the evening from 4 to 8 at the Powell's at Cedar Hills Crossing in Beaverton will be the metro area and Eastern Oregon.
That is an epic day. Wow. But none of the same judges are the same. I mean, they couldn't possibly be there with these time constraints.
No. We have a separate panel of judges at each of the contests. And like I said, we've got a coordinator in Southern Oregon who manages that contest. And then there's a coordinator for the Northern and Mid-Valley contests. And in addition to judges, we not only do students receive numeric scores from the judges, which actually aren't shared with the students. Those are confidential and not shared with students and teachers. But in Oregon, we use what we call non-scoring respondents. We have a lot of students who come year after year to this competition and are really interested in improving and learning from the experience. And when they don't get any feedback, that's really difficult for them to do. So we have a separate panel of these respondents who give the students narrative feedback. We have a scoring form that we adapted from a speech and debate model. And it uses the same scoring criteria as the judges, but it gives them suggestions for improvement and areas of strength. And the students actually do receive that feedback so that they can implement that into future endeavors.
For winners at regional or state level, anything besides trophies, scholarships, anything like that?
So at the regional level, we don't have any prizes, but the top three finishers at each regional get to come to the state competition on March 14th in Salem. And then at the state contest, we are looking for a winner and a runner-up. And there is some scholarship money that goes to those two students, as well as money that goes to their school library for the purchase of poetry books. And then the state winner gets an all-expense-paid trip to Washington, D.C. to participate in the national finals, where there's some really substantial scholarship money available for the top 12 finishers nationally.
How have the state winners in Oregon done in the past versus the national folks in the last, 10 years?
Well, we have a pretty good track record here in Oregon. We've had two national regional finalists, which means they're the fourth place finisher in their national regional competition. So they get, I think, a $1,000 scholarship. And then about 6 years ago, the national runner-up was from Oregon. She was actually from Brookings Harbor High School in Southern Oregon. And so she received a $10,000 scholarship and has since graduated from Southern Oregon State University, still lives here in Oregon. So we have a fairly good track record at nationals. And 2 years ago, the national winner was from the state of Washington. So West Coast is doing pretty well.
How much preparation do the kids have to do to get ready for their poems? I mean, how much time is usually represented by the minutes they have at the microphone?
I think it varies from school to school. Like I said, every school has their own kind of unique participation model, but I would say that ideally students are spending at least 3 weeks with their poems, doing the analysis and interpretation. We have some schools who actually run their competitions in the fall, which I think is even better because then students have an even longer amount of time to sort of sit with and inhabit the poem. But I have to say, and I don't advise this, but I have to say there are some students who just really have a natural knack for absorbing and presenting poetry. And I have talked to students who've said, oh, yes, I picked my poem a week ago, and here I am being successful at this competition. So it's pretty individual, but I would say in general, the more time a student spends with a poem, the more impressive their presentation is.
I had a chance to look at the National Poetry Out Loud website, and it seems like there are lots of details on how to roll this into the curriculum within the classroom in high schools.
Yeah, that's really how the program was designed initially, was to integrate with the English curriculum. And as the new Common Core standards have rolled out for English, the whole curriculum guide has been revised so that there are really strong connections to Common Core, trying to make it as easy as possible for teachers to make the case for why this is valuable. And, you know, I think it's really important in our schools that our students have the opportunity to do sort of project-based, hands-on learning experiences, get up out of the books, get up out of the desks, and, you know, really have a kinesthetic experience. And that's one of the things that Poetry Out Loud allows students to do. So again, for the teachers who are implementing it and using it, I think they're really seeing the benefits of students being engaged in English classrooms in ways that they maybe have never been before.
The Poetry Out Loud regional contests are March 7th, 1 to 4 in Medford, 10 to 1 in Salem, and Beaverton in the evening, but that's farther away from where our listeners are. So if you get a chance to check it out, it's worth your time. Poetry Out Loud, Deb Vaughn is the Arts Education Coordinator at the Oregon Arts Commission. Deb, thanks so much for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you so much, Jeff. And if anybody listening is a teacher or interested in Poetry Out Loud, I encourage them to get in touch with me. I will put you on my list to contact next year, and we'll bring you in for year 11.
All right. And you can find the links, by the way, to the competitions and to the Poetry Out Loud page for the Oregon Arts Commission at our website at jeffexchange.org.